Well, this is Roy Beard with Covenant Life Ministries. I'm glad to have you with us tonight. I hope that during our time together, that the Holy Spirit will inspire our hearts to seek the face of God in a more powerful way. It's my desire to encourage you to allow the atmosphere of heaven and the culture of the kingdom become a reality in your life.
Let's get right into the Word. If you have a Bible, go with me to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, Father, I come before You in Jesus' name and ask Your anointing. Anoint me tonight that I can say those things that need to be said and say what You desire and what I feel impressed by the Holy Spirit to say. Help me to touch somebody's heart with Your promise, Your word, Your provision, Your grace, Your mercy. I ask that in Jesus' name. Now let me make a confession here at the first of this, the beginning of this message. I confess that I am hesitant to use a single verse of Scripture in presenting what I want to present for our consideration because of the preceding and the subsequent verses being so incredibly germane and vital for the full understanding and the full impact of the truth that Jesus conveyed. But since I'm focused on three words, I'll stay with this single verse. But seek first. But seek first. Not just seek anything, but seek something specific, and that specific is God. It's His kingdom. It's His righteousness. God has to become the prime pursuit of our lives and must be sought before and above everything and anything else in life. There have been untold numbers of messages, of sermons, of exhortations, of writings regarding the need and the value and the benefit and the requirement of commitment and dedication to God. The warning cry of men of God for generations has been for us to be aware and to beware of putting anything before or above God. There have been urgent pleas virtually every week, week after week after week, from pulpits all around this world, seeking to inspire and encourage people everywhere to see what is the most important in life. There's something or somebody that has to be placed above everything in life, and that's God. There's something or someone upon whom the eternal existence depends. That's God. The message of Jesus is this in this particular declaration is not just valuable for the believer, it's vital. It's not just a suggestion, but it's a declaration of not only what God desires, but it's a declaration of that which will produce the most incredible victory that we could ever experience in life this side of heaven. The declaration in this statement, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and the word "and" is a vital word in this particular truth. It reveals the benefit of following the directive. It reveals the natural benefits, the material benefits, the physical benefits, but also reveals the eternal and the spiritual benefit. There's nothing in life, absolutely nothing, that's more important than the presence of God. And in His presence, We find hope, we find peace, we find joy, we find forgiveness, and we find the incredible provisions of His promise and His covenant. But unfortunately, too many stop at seek first the kingdom. Rather than seeking His kingdom, often they are investing themselves, their time, their energy, their money, their talents, their abilities into developing a kingdom. It's a kingdom of recognition, a kingdom of fame, a kingdom of fortune, a kingdom of influence, a kingdom of power, a kingdom of material things. And in that kingdom, God's often forced to the sidelines, or He's forced out of the picture entirely, all in His name. The world and even the church are filled with kingdom seekers, but not His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, I want to tap the brakes a little bit, lest I appear too negative. I don't believe that everybody in the church, or even most people in the church, are in that position or condition, but too many times, too often, we relegate God to the emergency button position rather than the first place. We seek Him just as we would we'd break the glass in case of an emergency to get to the fire extinguisher. We talk to Him in times of trial rather than making Him the most important and the first sought after of our day. Now, when I meditate on this particular passage of Scripture, I see several things that are clearly suggested. Number one is something is to be sought. There's something that we're to seek. And two, I see the priority and the importance of that which is to be sought. And number three, I see the benefit of obedience to that directive. So I want to focus on those three things, and I hope that you'll join me, and then that you will take it far beyond what I suggest and meditate, muse, consider, ponder, and just let that passage sink into your spirit and grip you. And I ask that the Lord will create a hunger and a thirst in your heart and my heart as we prepare our hearts to seek first God, His kingdom, and His righteousness. But then to the first question, what are we to seek? What is the specific that we're to seek? Well, first and foremost, we're to seek the kingdom of God. Now, that almost goes without saying, but it's important that we address it. The immediate question is, what is the kingdom of God? Now, I'm not going to get into a lengthy discourse and discussion or exegesis on the question, but suffice it to say it's the sphere or the realm of God's rule. Now, I believe that encapsulated in that declaration, we find the reality of God's kingdom in His presence, in His rule, in His reign, and in His sovereignty. Now, let me offer some passage of Scripture to illustrate what I'm saying. In Psalm 22:28, it said, "For the kingdom is the Lord's, and He rules over the nations." Well, some people think that's not true today and that God's an absentee landlord, but He does rule. Psalm 145:13 said, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and Your dominion endures throughout all generations." How long? All generations. Daniel 4:25, the last portion said, "The Most High is ruler over the realm of mankind and bestows it on whomever He wishes." God sets up kings and He takes them down. And Luke 1:52 said, "He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." The area and the right of God's rule are universal. He has the right and He has the authority to rule everything and everyone at all times and in all situations. But although God has the right to rule the earth is the scene of a cosmic and universal rebellion against Him that He's allowed because of His giving us the right of choice. Luke 4:5-8, "And He led him up," the devil led him up, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, said to Jesus, I will give you all this domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I give it to whomever I wish. Therefore, if you worship before me, it will be yours. Jesus answered, it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. See, Jesus didn't challenge what the devil said that had been handed to him, because it was in the garden. Adam did it. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, it said, we know that we're of God, and that the whole world lies in the power of the evil one. That's the rebellion. Revelation 11, 15 through 18, then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdom of this world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. And the 24 elders who sat on the throne before God fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, we give you thanks, O Lord God, the Almighty, who are and who were, because you have taken your great power and have begun to reign. And the nations were enraged, and your wrath came, and the time came for the dead to be judged, and the time to reward your bondservants, the prophets and the saints, and those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. The second thing that comes to mind is the kingdom of God is the sphere in which at any time his rule is acknowledged. Now, please understand that God has not, and God will not, relinquish his sovereignty in the face of man's cosmic rebellion. And he won't do that today any more than he did in the Garden of Eden or in the wilderness temptation of Jesus. Yet he's declared his purpose and his desire to establish his kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 44 said, in the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed, and that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will crush and put an end to all these kingdoms, but it will in itself endure forever. In verse 14 of Daniel 7, and to him was given the dominion, glory, and a kingdom, that all the people, nations of men of every language might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and 24 said, then comes the end, and when he hands over the kingdom of God and the Father, when he has abolished all rule and authority and power, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the third thing is the kingdom of God is the realm in which Christ's lordship is not only accepted and earnestly sought and manifested. W. Van said, now the king and his rule being refused, those who enter the kingdom are brought into conflict with all who disown its allegiance, as well as the desire for ease and the dislike of suffering and unpopularity natural to all. On the other hand, subjects of the kingdom are subject to the care of God, Matthew 6:33, and of the rejected king, Hebrews 13 and 5. Let me insert two quick statements. Entrance into the kingdom of God is by grace. It's by the new birth. It's salvation. Residence in the kingdom of God is through total submission and obedience to the king. You get in by salvation. You live in by obedience. Now, let me offer a word of caution and a word of warning and a word of encouragement before moving on to the next part. We are to seek the righteousness of God with our entire being, with our body, soul, mind, and strength. Incorporated in the righteousness of God, we discover the sum total of the requirements of God's goodness. His righteousness is to be incorporated in our lives on a daily basis, and his righteousness in us enhances the kingdom of God in this present world. We're more than representatives of Christ. We're to be the manifestations of the Lord. Now, there's a checkpoint in the Bible that I believe is incredibly revealing, and if we apply the questions that Jesus asked the rich young ruler to our own lives, we'll find some very interesting things. What would you do if the Lord were to ask you to do what he asked that man to do? Give up everything, sell everything he had, and give it to the poor. Now, be honest. That's an issue both of trust and submission. It's my hope and my desire to encourage you and to encourage me to seek first and above everything God's kingdom, God's righteousness, and his holiness. But what is the priority of seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? It has to be first above all else. God seeking, that has to be number one. According to Matthew 10:37, it's to be before all human relationships, including family. God is to be number one in all things and at all times. And if God's first, everything else falls into its proper place. It's to be before the pursuits of life, according to 1 Timothy 2:4. Anything, and I mean anything, that holds our affections, our allegiance, our interest, our involvement, our investment, holds our heart, as is revealed in Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, let me offer this, and you muse on it. You chew on it for a while. If you control your life, God doesn't. Let me say that again. If you control your life, God doesn't. If anything is sought to the expense of God and his kingdom and his righteousness, it's being sought first. It's imperative that we remember there can only be number one. Only be one number one. There can't be two. You can't serve God and mammon. Now, I'm saying, oh me, as I speak this, and I encourage everybody to join me in being completely honest and transparent with God, because he already knows. But it's important that we acknowledge the truth to him, and in that acknowledgement, he can come in and help us move out of that bondage into his victory. Jesus said, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. I believe that it's not only important, but imperative that we make God our earliest and our primary object of attention. We give him preference and priority in everything. Now, I totally understand that life's obligations and duties may occasionally make it difficult to invest the time in prayer at the beginning of your day. And if that's the norm, I have to ask you, what's number one? Are we willing to make everything take a backseat to God? Are we willing to endure hardships, ridicule, make sacrifices, and even suffer loss in the natural to make him number one? Now, what are the results of seeking God first? It's here, in this point, that I want to eliminate all arguments and all excuses against the pursuit of God first and above everything. Jesus said, all these things will be added to you. Now, I want you to see that. You don't lose anything by making him number one in all things and at all times. In fact, you gain everything. What are all these things? Well, the preceding verses, if you read them, you realize that he's speaking of both heavenly treasures as well as natural treasures and resources. He's talking about newfound freedom. That's incredible. He's speaking about deliverance from fear, worry, carnal lust, and draws our attention to the promises and the provisions of life. Everything that we need. These are incorruptible treasures that he's offering us, things that are beyond imagination, indescribable peace, peace that passes all understanding, supernatural provision that we could even have the ravens, as did Elijah, come and feed us, and the eternal inheritance of living in his presence eternally. See, that which is most important will be that which is most sought after by us. Whatever's most important to me will be what I invest myself in. It reveals what's number one. So I ask each one of us to be totally honest with ourselves and with God. Are we seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? Would we, will we, do we renounce anything and everything for him? Is our heart's cry right now, guilty? I'm guilty of failure to do this, Lord. So I ask that you forgive me of my negligence and any unwittingly manufactured excuses for my omission. As I began to think about this entire thought subject, the chorus, "Mercy Rewrote My Life," begins to ring in my hearing. So I come before the Lord in repentance, and I receive his mercy, and I declare that my heart's greatest desire is God, his kingdom, his righteousness. Lord, I want your kingdom to come. I want your will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. I want it to be done in my life. I want to see the fulfillment of that prayer that you taught your disciples in Matthew 6. I want to see your kingdom come. I want to see you manifest your glory here on earth. I want to see the darkness, the powers of hell destroyed. The Bible says Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. That was his express purpose for coming. That's the cry of my heart. I want to destroy the works of the devil. And how do I do that? I do that by making the kingdom of God, his righteousness, his kingdom, his person, his presence, number one in my life. And if your heart's crying out to him in repentance for any negligence, then I want you to know that he hears and he forgives. And if you ask, he'll transform you. And you can go forth from this very moment renewed and manifest him as well as represent him to a fallen world. And so my question for each person right now is, are you willing? Are you ready? Are you determined to find and seek and pursue the presence of God and experience his kingdom in your life right now? Are you tired of living in mediocrity spiritually? Are you tired of praying prayers that don't seem to get answers and asking for people to be healed and they remain sick? Are you tired of seeing the devil destroy lives? Well, if we seek first his kingdom, his righteousness, Jesus said, "The works that I do, you'll do also, because I've gone to my Father." Another question is, are you ready? Are you willing to relinquish the control of your life right now? Are you willing to give up control? Some of us are such control freaks and we don't even know it, but we want to guide our ship, be the master of our ship, the captain of our ship, the master of our fate. But we're not. He is. And we have to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Are you ready? Are you willing to become a manifestation of him, not simply a representative of him, right now? Right now. Well, if you're not, then something's got to change. What needs to change? You need to become a kingdom seeker. And by kingdom seeker, I mean a God seeker. That you seek him first. You seek him foremost. You seek him before everything. You seek him above everything. And you set your heart to seek first, above everything, before everything, in everything, his presence, his person, his power, his kingdom, his righteousness, his glory. And the promise of Jesus is that if we seek, we'll find. If we seek, we'll find. He said if we'd return to him, he would return to us. We have great and precious promises in the Word of God. We have a covenant-keeping God that keeps his covenant to 1,000 generations. We have the provisions of the cross, the victory of Jesus, that says we have authority over all of the power of the enemy. We have the promise of God and the directive of God that He has given us power and authority over all of the power of the devil, and that we can go forth expecting Psalm 91 to be a reality in our life. We can go forth expecting Psalm 23 to be a reality in our life. We can go forth expecting Jeremiah 33:3 to be a reality in our lives. We can go forth expecting Matthew 6:33 to be a reality in our lives. Matthew 6:18 to be a reality in our lives. Matthew 28 to be a reality in our lives. We can go forth expecting to be manifestations of the Lord Jesus Christ in this present world. And then we can become people that get excited when we see the work of the devil, not because we want it to happen, but because we know that in us, through us, by Him, in us, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. And because we're seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, we can be like Peter and John with the lame man at the gate, beautiful, where we can look at that situation and say, I may not have any money to throw at it. I may not have this or that. I may not have all the knowledge and the inner workings of how it works out, but what I do have, I can give you, and in the name of Jesus, be corrected. We have authority in Christ. It's time that you and I began to act like what the Bible says we are, and that is more than conquerors through Him that loved us. We overwhelmingly conquer. It's time that we began to expect God to do what God said He wanted to do and would do and could do and will do and is doing in this earth. Folks, we don't have to hide in the corner. We don't have anything to be ashamed of. We don't have anything to back up from, because we belong to God. God is in charge. God is on the throne. God is the King of the ages. He's the Creator God. He's the living God. Right now, I want to pray for you. Father, I want to pray with you. Father, in the name of Jesus, wake us up. Help us to understand that as born-again believers, we have been born again into the family of God. We are now heirs of God, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, and that according to your word, we can ask what we will, and it'll be done. We can come boldly before the throne of grace and ask whatever we ask, because we're not consuming it upon our own lust. We're not asking amiss. We're asking according to the will of Almighty God. We're not praying, if it be your will, as an out, as an excuse, but we're saying, Lord, we're praying your will, because we're praying your word, and because we are people that are seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, then we have the promise that you've given that whatever we're asking, we're going to receive. I thank you for that. I praise you for that. And I worship you for that. So I pray for this people listening tonight that in the name of Jesus, you will heal their bodies. You will provide for them financially. You will give them guidance. You will restore their homes. You will manifest yourself mightily for them right now. That's my prayer. That's my cry. That's my desire. So in Jesus' name, let it be done.
Amen.
Well, thank you for being with us on Covenant Life Ministries broadcast. This is Roy Beard. I have two blogs that I write, roybeard.com and royscovenantcorner.wordpress.com. If you'd like to contact me at Covenant Life Ministries, clm.texas@yahoo.com, and I'll be glad to respond to you, be glad to help you in any way I can. God bless you, and we will look forward to seeing you next week. Go with God, and He will go with you.